Threat Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the Rain Dancing Festival 2014, and I'm very pleased to be joined by filmmaker Luke Chamberlain, or Chamberlain, said it in bilingual, being from Canada, he suggested that I would do that. And you're presenting the film Seth's Dominion. Thanks very much for being with us, first of all.
It's a real pleasure. I'm at Rain Dance. I'm honored at Rain Dance to pick up my film, and I think I did an awesome film, of course, but it's important that people see the films on the big screen, and Rain Dance take all these little gems and bring it and put it where it belongs, in a giant screen where people can appreciate and have the full experience.
Absolutely, and I must congratulate you in front of our listeners for a wonderful job on this documentary that I really appreciate it. Well, first of all, how about you introduce to us Seth's Dominion? What is it about? Who is Seth?
The pitch that will turn to everybody off is basically, it's a film about a guy who do comic books in his basement. But it's so much more than that. This is a journey that will take your mind and rattle your mind and bring you to another world inside that Seth character. Seth is a comic artist, quite famous in the comic world. He does graphic novels, and if you make a list of the 10 most important comic artists, he's certainly at the top of that 10th most important comic artist. And he has an incredible intensity inside. He has so much stuff he wants to talk about. And he basically did a personal journal in comics that is unpublished. So I'm doing the film going from him being interviewed, we're going to his personal journal in comics that I do in animation, and we talk about Albert Batch, another comic artist, in a puppet theater play. And we go from one to the other medium, not necessarily in that order.
Yeah. His style is very recognizable. I myself, I must admit, I didn't really know him that well. But I didn't realize that I was familiar with his works. For starters, I noticed that he did the poster for Make Way for Tomorrow by Liam McCarry.
Indeed.
Actually, I think it's his birthday today.
It is
the time
of
doing
the
interview.
Yes.
So happy birthday, Liam McCarry. But let's go back to the beginnings of this project. How did you meet Seth, and where did this idea to discover him as an artist come about in a documentary come about?
I grew up reading a French newspaper magazine called Spirou, and it's come from French Belgium, and it's the best comic artists from Europe are there. And so my sensibility was more European comic. And then from Montreal, I moved to London, and I stayed 15 years in London doing directing commercial, working for Steven Spielberg and other things like that. And meanwhile, I was reading English comic books, and I love Alan Moore and other various British comic book artists, and I appreciate it, but it was a different sensibility. And in the middle of that, I discover here in London Seth, and I thought, oh, here's an American comic artist who does interesting thing, and I think he's as closer to my sensibility, closer to European comic. And then slowly I realized, I read everything he was doing, and then I realized, my God, he's Canadian. I went back to Canada not that long ago, and then he was doing a conference. I went to the conference, and during the conference, I just got the idea that I can do a film with him. I can have him talk, because he's very articulate, he's very clever, and he thinks about life and all the little intricacy of life. And I can do animation, because I do animation, and I can do a mix of that, and then it's all came up there, but I didn't know what exactly I was going to do. I just managed to talk to him after the conference. That's a bit, you know, geeky, and I'm your number one fan. Things just scare everybody, but I think I did it the proper way. And then we start to talk, slowly on email and then telephone call, and then we met. And after a while, I discovered that he had those diary, and then he gave me access to the diary, and I had an unprecedented confidence from his part. He gave me carte blanche.
Right.
I just film him, and he just let me do whatever I want. He approved the style of drawing I was using for adapting the animation, but the rest is just like, really, Seth wants to be left alone when he's doing a contract. When somebody asks him to do an illustration, he wants to have peace of mind and do whatever he wants. And he said, I'm going to treat you exactly like I like to be treated. So he just let me do the film I thought was the most pertinent about the life of a comic book artist and the memory of everybody else in life, because we all have memories, and Seth dwell a lot about that. And I think we don't realize how important memories are in our lives. And all that precious, very precious baggage is part of our life. And it gets bigger every year. Every day we get more memories and more. And we can use it in a very satisfying and creative way. And that's what I try to do with Seth's film. But it really, I think, is a mind-gobbling adventure when you, if you sit in the film, you go in one way and then you go deeper and then you go deeper and then you go deeper. And I try to create a lot of different layers to see all the different facets of that fascinating artist.
Yeah, because he's got this, like, these two identities in a way. He's obviously very successful, even in a commercial sense, but he's also making art for the sake of making art. He's very artistic, you know, in the most conventional of terms, not just doing it for the money, basically.
No, he doesn't do things only for the money. He wants to do things only for the money so he can do the things he really wants to do, because he needs to pay the rent. But, I'm probably a weird filmmaker where I have 2, 3, 4 brains. I have 2 nationalities. I'm British and I'm Canadian. So this is fun. I have a duality of 2 different continents, 2 different sensibility. But I love comic book. I love animation and I love live action. So I decided to slowly mixing all this.
Yeah.
And maybe there's even a Gerry Anderson influence with the puppet that I managed to squeeze in with my comic book sensibility and my live action sensibility. And there's so much film I want to do. So that film is packed. There's so much material. I really try to make it an hypnotic intensity.
Tell me now, because you were such a big fan of his work, what were the difficulties of channeling his spirit, his identity as an artist and as a person?
It's a privilege to have somebody who give to you his confidence. I got the confidence from the National Film Board. I got the confidence from my amazing producer, Marcy Page, at the Film Board. And I got his confidence. How do I manage? The thing is that when I was approaching Seth, I wanted to do animation. But my problem is that which part of his books I was going to use in animation. And I had problem with that. And I had to jungle with that at the beginning. And all the solution came when he showed me his diary that are unpublished in secret. Mm. And his diary is not 2 or 3 books. It's about 15 books. There's an incredible amount of material that's never been published. And that suddenly was the solution. Because showing extract of his comic translate in animation that is not just part of his story, that you don't have a linear, it was not working for me. And then the diary are just little moments of everyday life that he puts together in 4 or 5 pages, and then I just took those moments and I animate them. The difference here is that when you read a comic, the reader imposes the timing on the comic. You take your time, you linger on a drawing, you look at a little detail, you look at a word 2 or 3 times. But here, when I do the film, I impose a timing to the actual comic. It becomes alive and it has a rhythm. I tried to make a rhythm that was closer to the actual feeling of Seth and not really my feeling. I was trying to get closer to his feeling. It's why all the diary insert in animation, I got set to read his own diary. He didn't want to do it. He wanted an actor. And I said, no. It's only you. And Seth, strangely, who has the most beautiful voice, doesn't like his voice. So it was a bit of a... But it's okay. After I convinced him and I showed him some animation tests, he realized that it was working. Yeah. And then it was easier to do the rest.
His voice sounded a lot like Steve Buscemi, I thought, as a side note.
It's fascinating.
It's very cinematic, actually.
Thank you. I can't make anything that is not cinematic. I had to do a cinematic experience for the people.
People
are going to give... This is an hour-long film. People are going to give an hour of their life to sit down to look at my film. This hour must be really fulfilling and exciting. And people, when I say them thank you at the end to have spent an hour with me, people have to be excited and full of an energy and
inspired.
Inspired and having a satisfying experience. And that's really what I was trying to do. And I can't make something that is not cinematic.
Yes.
But it's true that is Steve Buscemi. We put him a fedora and big round glasses on his face, he would strangely look like Set.
But because it's an hour-long film, now I'm very curious to know, how long did it actually take to make?
So here, it's something, it's a curse disguised as a blessing. I'm busy in Montreal, I direct commercials, I've been back in Montreal for 8 years now. I direct commercial, I direct some pilot for TV series, I teach storyboard at university. Yeah, and I write a lot of different script and so on. And so when I had free time, I was working on that film. So the start to finish is 8 years. But if we put it all together, it's really only, it's probably a year maximum. Yeah. Not more than a year. But it's just that I was doing a little bit at a time, and it was very difficult to explain to the the producer at the film board. It was difficult to explain the concept, even if I wrote a script and I present. They were a bit worried about the experimentation of going from one medium to the other. So they give me a room. They say, okay, do it. You know, just we let you do it. So I did bit by bit. And after 8 years, I had a finished film. Right. And now I got the grand prize at the Ottawa Film Festival. And hopefully there's Leeds who wants to see the film. Now, Leeds, they officially announced that it's going to play at the Leeds Film Festival in UK. And hopefully there's about 20 others. There's about 20 other film festivals who phoned the National Film Board of Canada last week, and now they want to see the film because they got the grand prize. So I think it's going to play. It's going to have an LT life around the world of festivals. Hopefully I'll be able to travel a little bit with it and do a good promotion.
Well, I wish you all the best with it. Thanks very much, Luke.
Thank you, Matt. It was a pleasure. It was lovely. And yeah, success to myself. And go see my film on the big screen, Set's Dominion by Luke Chamberlain. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.